After a series of staggering defeats, Blue Oyster Cult assembled in the recording studio in late 1976 for a session with famed producer Bruce Dickinson. And luckily for us, the cameras were rolling.
All right, guys, I think we're ready to lay this first track down. By the way, my name is Bruce Dickinson. Yes, the Bruce Dickinson. And I gotta tell you, fellas, you have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
Coming from you, Bruce, that means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're Bruce Dickinson.
This is incredible. I can't believe Bruce Dickinson digs our sound.
Easy, guys. I put my pants on, just like the rest of you, one leg at a time. Except, once my pants are on, I make gold records. All right, here we go. Don't fear the Reaper. Take one, roll it.
All right, one, two, three, four.
Could you come in here for a second, please? That was going to be a great track. Guys, what's the deal?
Are you sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell. So, let's take it again. And Gene.
Yeah.
Really explore the studio space this time.
You got it, Bruce.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Explore the space.
Okay.
I like what I'm hearing. Roll it.
One, two, three, four.
Could you come back in there, please?
Fellas, no, we just wasted two good tracks. This last one was even better than the first.
Well, it's just that I find Gene's cowbell playing distracted. I don't know. If I'm the only one, I'll shut up.
No, it's pretty rough.
You know, I can pull it back a little if you like.
Not too much, though. I'm telling you, fellas, you're gonna want that cowbell on the track.
You know what? It's fine. Let's just do the thing.
Okay, roll it.
One, two, three, four.
It doesn't work for me. I gotta have more cowbell.
Don't blow this for us, Gene!
Could be so selfish, Gene.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, baby, just say it.
I'm standing here staring at rock legend Bruce Dickinson.
I'm a cock and a walk, baby.
And if Bruce Dickinson wants more cowbell, we should probably give him more cowbell.
Say, baby.
And Bobby, you are right. I am being selfish. But the last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
I'd be doing myself a disservice and every member of this band if I didn't perform the hell out of this.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Thank you, Bruce. If I just leave and maybe I'll come back later and we can lay down the cowbell.
Come on, baby.
Gene, wait.
Why don't you lay down that cowbell right now? With us. Together.
Do you mean that, Eric?
Oh, yeah. Speaks for all of us.
Thank you.
Babies. Before we're done here, y'all be wearing gold-plated diapers.
What does that mean?
Never question Bruce Dickinson. Roll it.
One, two, three, four.
This is the Bruce Dickinson, and I've just got to tell you, the prescription is always more cowbell.
The More Cowbell sketch was clearly not written by rock historians. They had the wrong guy singing the song, they had the wrong month it was recorded, they were missing the keyboard player in the band, and the song was not actually produced by Bruce Dickinson. He produced a reissue that a clueless SNL writer consulted for the info. Of course, it's all made even more confusing by the fact that Bruce Dickinson, who actually was a record producer, he's now retired, shares his name with the frontman of Iron Maiden. This actually led to one Bruce receiving the other Bruce's mail when they found themselves staying in the same hotel. But like I said, Bruce Dickinson actually was a record producer. He actually produced the first Steelheart album from which I played a song recently on the second hair metal episode. Bruce Dickinson eventually ended up on the staff at Sony, and he did a lot of work on reissues, including Blue Oyster Cult, which is how his name ended up connected with the More Cowbell sketch. And he worked on a lot of reissues for my favorite band, Cheap Trick. Bruce Dickinson actually oversaw the Cheap Trick box set that came out in the late 90s. And you may or may not know that I am also a co-host of a Cheap Trick podcast called Cheap Talk with the podfather Ken Mills. And we recently did an episode with Bruce Dickinson about the work that he did with Cheap Trick. And I had the idea, when I knew that we were going to be speaking with him, that I should do an episode of Rock and or Roll and call it More Cowbell and play songs on the episode with prominent cowbell in them. So when we were talking to Bruce Dickinson for the Cheap Trick podcast, I asked him to record an intro for this episode, which you heard at the beginning. Let's play it again now.
This is the Bruce Dickinson, and I've just got to tell you, the prescription is always more cowbell.
So that was the actual Bruce Dickinson, the guy that Christopher Walken is erroneously lampooning in the More Cowbell sketch. Later in the episode, we'll get to hear Bruce's own pick for a song for the cowbell theme. Right now, let's hear my first pick.
It's Monday, start of a new week for Dial MTV. Adam Curry with you, playing back an hour and a half of the music you absolutely like the most because these are the videos that you called in and voted for.
Dial MTV. Now, this is pre-Carson Daly and what did they call it? Total Request Live or whatever? But originally that show started out, it was called Dial MTV, and it was a show where supposedly MTV viewers could call a number between whatever time and vote, and MTV would then play the top 10 videos that got the most votes. I was always very suspicious of that show. I think it was just a bunch of payola. I remember when Pour Some Sugar on Me was number one for weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden it was replaced at number one on Dial MTV by a band called Britney Fox, video called Long Way to Love. And at the time, I watched every Headbangers Ball, I read every issue of Metal Edge and other magazines, but the way I remember it, now this is just how I remember it, but from my memory, the first time I ever even heard of Britney Fox was when they suddenly appeared at number one on Dial MTV. And I thought it was suspicious. And then the same thing happened with this next song. As far as I remember this next song suddenly out of nowhere, it was number one on Dial MTV. It's called Fly Me Courageous by a band called Drivin' and Cryin'. This was an Atlanta band. This was their fourth album, and it featured them shifting to a much more of a hard rock inspired sound with heavier guitars. This is a great song with an unforgettable riff and very prominent cowbell.
I've got you on the loose.
That was Jammin' Me from Tom Petty's 1987 album Let Me Up, I've Had Enough, which was kind of a flop for Tom. Maybe it needed more cowbell, but he would do all right on his next album. Right now we're going to hear the first single from Skid Row's second album, Slave to the Grind, which debuted at number one on Billboard in its first week of release in June of 1991. I remember very well watching the premiere of this video on Headbangers Ball, and it seemed like a departure in style from the first record, at least at the time, for Skid Row, even though in retrospect, listening to it now, it's not really that far removed, but it seemed like it at the time. But this is a great song called Monkey Business, and listen for the cowbell.
I can't close the closet on the shoebox for love.
Show!
That was Susie is a Headbanger, as opposed to Sheena, who's a punk rocker, from the second Ramones album, Leave Home. Up next, we're going to hear a song by The Jam from their classic third album, All Mod Cons. This is a song called A-Bomb in Wardour Street. Wardour Street is a one-way street in Soho, London, that runs from Leicester Square through Chinatown to Oxford Street. Listen for the cowbell.
They call in the army, they call in a body.
Hell yeah, that was Sister Havana, or Hoana, as Nash Cato pronounces it. That was Chicago indie rockers Urge Overkill from their 1993 major label debut with Geffen Records, album called Saturation. That album was definitely expected to be a bigger hit than it was, I think, and it should have been because it's great. As is the follow-up by Urge Overkill, Exit the Dragon, great stuff. Up next, song called Diamond Dogs. I think you probably know this one. It's the title track from David Bowie's 8th album. Came out in May of 1974. Does this one need more cowbell? You decide.
Yeah.
every time I see someone do a list of songs with cowbell, they never mention You Can't Do That by the Beatles.
All right, I will play that one and credit you.
Okay.
I got something to say that might cause you pain. If I catch you talking to that boy again, I'm gonna let you down. Tell you one more time, I think it's a sin. I think I'll let you down.
Let you down.
I'll leave you flat.
Gonna let you down and leave you flat.
Because I told you before, oh, you can't do that. Everybody's green, 'cause I'm the one who won your love. But if they'd seen you talk,
so that was the Bruce Dickinson's pick, You Can't Do That by the Beatles, the B-side on the Can't Buy Me Love single. Paul McCartney is credited as playing cowbell on that track. So in 1974, what was supposed to be a hiatus for the Alice Cooper Band became a breakup, but Vincent Furnier carried on using the name no longer as a band name. Now he would come to fully occupy the name as an individual character. So the first album Vincent released as Alice Cooper without the band was called Welcome to My Nightmare. Has some good songs, but in my opinion, Alice Cooper was never even close to as good without Michael Bruce, Dennis Dunaway, Glenn Buxton, and Neil Smith. My favorite song from Welcome to My Nightmare is probably this one, called Cold Ethel, featuring some cold cowbell.
Leather, come and freeze me with
All right, you know who that was. That was Cinderella, their first big hit, Shake Me. I still love that band and that song. Up next, we're going to hear a song by interplanetary rockers Gwar called Rock and Roll Never Felt So Good. And this one kicks right in with some cowbell.
Thank you.
That was Private World by the New York Dolls from their amazing self-titled debut album, one of my favorite bands ever. Up next, we've got a band that was slightly influenced by the Dolls called Motley Crue. There's some very prominent cowbell on the first Motley Crue album, Too Fast for Love. But I decided to dig a little deeper, play a song buried on Dr. Feelgood, definitely not my favorite Motley Crue album. I do enjoy this song. See if you can hear Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen singing backup on this, and also see if you can hear the cowbell. This is called She Goes Down. We'll be right back. That was Vicious by Lou Reed, first song on his 1972 David Bowie Mick Ronson produced record Transformer. Very good album, although I can definitely live without Walk on the Wild Side. Up next is a song by Warren Zevon, the first song from his second album, Excitable Boy, from 1978. This song is called Johnny Strikes Up the Band. See if you can make out the cowbell.
Dry your eyes, my little friend. Let me take you by the hand. Freddy, get ready. Rock steady when Johnny strikes up the band. He'll be rocking in the project, walking down along the Strand. Freddy, get ready. Rock steady when Johnny strikes up the band. Johnny strikes up the band. When Johnny strikes up the wind, Johnny strikes up the wind, Johnny strikes up the band. Your mind at ease, he's guaranteed to please, backed by popular demand. Look around, my little friend, jubilation in the land. Ready, get ready, rock steady when Johnny strikes up the band. Johnny strikes up the band. Johnny strikes up the wind, Johnny strikes up the wind, Johnny strikes up the band.
Oh,
that was Clampdown by The Clash, of course, from their legendary double album London Calling. Great song. I love it. The cowbell is not as obvious on this next song. This song actually became the theme song for that 70s show. It was performed by Cheap Trick for the show after the first season. Let's hear the original by Big Star, of course, from Number One Record. This is a song called In the Street, and it might need more cowbell.
Oh,
All right, that was Think About You by Guns N' Roses. That has to be the most dated-sounding, kind of out-of-place song on Appetite for Destruction. Definitely more of a pop-leaning song. I don't know if you know this about me, but I think Appetite for Destruction is one of the most overrated albums ever, in my opinion. I do not see what is so great about it. I love Slash's guitar tone and his playing. I really love Sweet Child of Mine. But if you break it down to just the songwriting, I'm not very impressed by the melodies or the hooks on that album. I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Anyway, this next song is a song you know. Amazing song. I really love this song. It has very prominent cowbells, so just close your eyes and enjoy this masterpiece of songwriting and production.
Take your feel.
And now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, so I really want to thank Bruce Dickinson again for being such a good sport. I would completely understand if the guy was sick to death of the cowbell thing, but he gave us a great interview on Cheap Talk. Go check it out. And no matter how many times Ken mentioned more cowbell, Bruce had a sense of humor about it. So thank you, Bruce.
Okay, more cowbell.
Always more cowbell.
You must be really sick of hearing that.
Yeah, he's got to be sick of that. He's got to be sick.
Well, actually, you know, I do have the shirt. Blue Oyster Cult gave me a nice more cowbell shirt.
And with Will Ferrell on it?
No. It's a shirt that says more cowbell, and it's got a cowbell on it.
So oh, my God.
I actually have a picture of me wearing it with Blue Oyster Cult. And I don't know if you know, but of all the sketches, I don't know, for better or for worse, of all the sketches ever, all time on Saturday Night Live, that is the most popular.
And now I'm going to leave you with a long one. This song is 11 minutes long. You can hear me on the Pods and Sods episode about this album, Animals by Pink Floyd. A lot of cowbell in this song. Great song. I love it. This is called Pigs, parentheses, three different ones. Till next time.
Thank you. back.
Was a dancer.